Hey, welcome back. Who is going to speak first? I didn't know whether it was going to be Ellie and I, or Ellie or I, but here we are.
Ellie and I.
Ellie and I. Well, no, not if we're speaking first. Someone's got to speak first. It can't be the both of us.
Same time, go.
Same time, go. It's been rough. It's been about 3 weeks since we did this episode. Ellie's family has gone back to New Jersey. Help,
No,
please.
it has not been that
No,
bad. Come on.
it's actually been pretty good.
Yeah.
I think when we have family helping, both of our families have your family's here, and then they go back, and then my family starts stopping by. And feel like there's always this transition period where we're like, what happened? But here we are. We are back for part two of the birth story of our beautiful daughter. Did we already say we had a daughter?
We did say we had a daughter.
Well, she was breastfeeding in the last one, so people have to know. I don't
Yes.
even remember what we talked about in the first one, but we listened to the end of the first one, and here we are. So we have someone watching Ella now, and we have like a half hour, so let's jump in.
Let's do it.
Is there any way, anything you want to talk about for Sally? I know we left off on you had reached 8 centimeters. We had transferred to the hospital, and here we are. Do you remember anything, or do you want me to start talking?
You can start talking. I mean, there's a lot that I can say. I think what's interesting is that how nothing went according to plan, and yet like it was
All
perfect.
perfect.
Yeah. And I think what's interesting is I spent so long prepping for this that not that that's bad. I actually think it's great. Like I listened to my own podcasts and did hypnobirthing and just like all the things, and like life and God and the universe had a plan of its own, and Ella had her own plan of how she wanted to come into the world.
Yes.
And so I think it's always interesting how we can build things up in our mind in a particular way, and then ultimately yeah, like a big lesson is just to surrender, because you can't control. Like, we can only do our part in life.
Well, and I think we're jumping ahead here with what I'm saying, but I found it funny that after we got home from the hospital, there were so many things that we did not know. And you had a moment where you're just like, I looked at everything for the birth. I really didn't look at much after once we get home. I mean, you
Know.
looked at some stuff, but I think there was an element where we were both just like, okay, we are unprepared for this moment.
Oopsie.
We did a lot of preparation for the birth and the process of the birth. And then after that, we were like, okay, well, we'll have to figure this part out now. So I just found that really funny.
It
But
is so funny.
yeah, would
But
you like to jump back in?
intuitively,
No,
yeah,
go
but
ahead.
intuitively I feel like you like after she was born, and we'll get back to the birth story. There's not like that much more to share, but like I feel like I was like, here, James, hold her, and you were like you literally just like did like you just didn't know, like you'd contort yourself in like funny ways. And
It's as
now
though someone, I don't love cats. It's as though someone handed me a cat I do not know. And I'm like, okay, what would you like me to do with this?
you just did not, yeah, like at first, like literally the first day, but now like 6 weeks in, like she's just like in love with her dad. Like she just like loves sleeping on you, and she loves being held, and you're like, you'd think that you were just like had done this for years. Like you're so wonderful
I've
and
become
natural with
very
her.
comfortable with
Yeah.
it. To clarify, while I don't love cats, I did love Ella. I just wasn't quite sure how to hold her because I've never been one of those people that was like, oh, let me hold the baby. I'm like, oh, you can hold your baby. And now I'm holding ours and I feel much more comfortable. She feels very relaxed. In fact, most of her time is spent sleeping. just on me. We have a shirt. It's called the Lullaboo.
I think Lullaboo.
I was going to say Lullaboo, but then it came out as a disformed version of Lullaby. And then I was trying to correct. But yes, it is called a Lullaboo shirt. And it has a little pouch on the front. And you can just boom, pop her right in there. And she curls up, falls asleep for 3 hours. And I just walk around the house and do stuff. Back on track. I love my daughter. Don't love cats. And you were 8 centimeters. And then now we have to remember it because it's been 6 weeks now. I believe that is when they perhaps started to introduce more of the Pitocin because they had done it very, very lightly.
Right.
They did the epidural and then you got to 8 centimeters. And then they introduced the Pitocin. And then that started to speed things up. And yeah, is there anything you want to share? Because I can give my recollection, but I'm not sure what you want to share from your experience.
Yeah. I mean,
I think you said you don't really remember much.
Everything's a daze, but yet, like, I feel like I remember it, like the feeling and being there and all of it. I think it's just like the chain of events of like chronological order. I'm like, I don't freaking know. But
I'm a very chronological guy. Why don't I start with that and then you can just like share what was happening. So eventually you had reached 10 centimeters.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, the doula had come back and the midwife had gone, I believe, to somebody else's birth. That's what she had done. She had gone to somebody else's birth and the doula had come back because obviously at that point we're in the hospitals. The doctors pretty much have it from there. But we were able to contact her when we needed. And yes, there were a few midwives on the floor. And the one that ended up, there was one that everyone raved about. I think was her name Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary Thompson? I don't know, but I think her name was Mary. And people raved about her. She was very kind, which is helpful because when you reach the hospital, you're kind of going, okay, this is very different than what I had planned for and expected. We don't know what these people are going to be like.
Right.
And this particular hospital had midwives, but the one that ended up really arriving, her name was Kimberly, I believe.
Yep. And she was exactly what I needed.
She was exactly what you needed. You tend to lean towards the person that is perhaps a little softer and gentler. And at this point, you had Dr. Kimberly. And she was more of a kick in the pants.
And like, you know, our midwife, who's amazing, her name is April Ward. Highly recommend her. Like, April is very like sensitive and kind and like you know, just intuitive and very much like allows you to lead. And I think throughout the whole pregnancy, like, that's what we needed. It was super helpful to have her support. Just like a more, just like warm, compassionate, softer energy.
A lot of care.
Like a lot of, like, that's how she led. And it was like a co-creative experience with her. And Kimberly comes in and she's got this like fiery energy and at first I was like, oh no, but it's actually exactly what I needed because at that point it was like people, you know, the doctors, the nurses, everyone was watching at this point of like, what's going to happen here? Like, are we going to have to go to like the C-section route because this has been so long, or are we going to have other interventions? Like, what are we doing here? And I had always envisioned me like just like gently breathing my baby out. Like I'm gonna have this like water birth and it's just gonna be like and like easeful. And I at one point I think had this talk both with like Kimberly and the doula, like where they were like, this is not going to be a breathe your baby out situation. Like, just like, let it out. There's this term, I don't want to butcher it or get it wrong, but it's basically like the fetal ejection something process where the body just like naturally releases the baby. They see this done when like women are in comas or and stuff, like the body will just like birth the baby and you don't have to like push hard. And that's kind of like what I envisioned. Like I really just wanted my body to just be like, ha, so I wouldn't have to work. Like I would still have to work, but I wouldn't have to like what they call it is like purple pushing, because you have to like really like go for it really hard. And yeah, so basically we had to have a conversation at one point where they were like, you're going to have to really push this baby out because yeah, that's what needs to happen here. So anyway, I just wanted to say that. And Kimberly had that power to her where she was like, this is what needs to happen, which I needed to hear.
Right. It was very much, kind of like a coach mentality, right? Like a traditional coach mentality where they're really rooting you on, directing you with a lot of power, a lot of force behind like that energy. And yeah, it was almost like a conversation of, you know, I know you've followed social media and the people that you followed. And yeah, this is not one of those situations. Not that it wasn't wonderful that you aimed for that, but that social media kind of, you know, once you find the thing, that's what social media pushes to you. Mm. And so it's almost like this other part that was dismissed, right? Of, no, that's not going to, you know, that type of birth isn't going to be my birth. And it was. And yeah, she was wonderful. And so Kimberly was there and they, you know, they tried to move you through different positions to position the baby because, I mean, I didn't know this, but she was facing up. So I guess
we didn't know it. We didn't know it until she was born.
Yeah, they call that sunny side up where she's facing upward. She wasn't originally, but I guess she turned in the car on the way there. And on top of that, her hand was on her cheek and she would not move that. So not only are you pushing out a baby, you're pushing out a baby in the non-optimal position. And she has her hand and arm against her head and will not move them. So that's even more room that is taking up. And there were, I think, about 7 doctors in that room when she was finally pushed out. But I think the progression getting there was really gradual, right? There was a lot of pushing where you had to learn how to properly push and they were guiding you through that, which is basically a feeling of shitting your pants. Do I have that correct?
Yeah, it's like letting out a huge shit. And I also like, you know, we timed the pushing with the contractions.
Yeah.
So every time a contraction came, that's when I would push. And, you know, in that sense, it felt like it was doable. Like the hardest thing I've ever done, but also like doable because then there were breaks between them. But yeah, like, it was like a movie scene. There were nurses. There were, I mean, James was watching. There were nurses there. There were like 3 doctors there. At one point, they had an OB come in, who his name is Stanley. And I felt like that was like God, like winking at me because my grandpa's who passed was named Stanley. And I don't know. I just felt like that was like a lovely little, thing that happened. And every single person, like they were just like, they brought an energy that was needed. Like Stanley was also very much coach mentality and was like, you know, you can do this. And they were all like I mean, everyone was yelling at a certain point, being like, "You can do this! You can do this!" Oh, like yeah. from the nurses to the doctors. At one point, they were considering to use the vacuum, which I like again was like thought I would never be someone who would need a vacuum. And so Stanley, like that, he would have been the one to use it. You know, it's like this, I guess. You know, tool that they literally use to like vacuum the baby out. Yes. And that was scary to me because I was like, oh no, like, you know, there's basically there are risks to everything every time you add an intervention. But he was like, no, like he thought of using it. And then I think he had a moment where he was like, no, this isn't right. I'm not going to use it. Which I really appreciated because like maybe it would have been easier in a certain sense for them, but he just like had the awareness that it like, no, it wasn't needed. So Stanley and Kimberly worked together as a team to really just like monitor and see what was needed and support me. And the pushing stage, I mean, it was definitely a few hours long. I don't know if it was like 2 or 3 hours long, but it was long.
It was very long. 'Cause I know I alternated with the midwife on holding your head and your arms and your back, because essentially when you push, you have to lean forward, but you're so exhausted that you need that help and support. So there's a few of us like helping you and holding your head, and people are helping you with your legs. So there was probably about 7, maybe more people in there, and they did such a wonderful job, because there was a point where you were so exhausted where you just said, maybe you should cut me open or whatever it is. And, I think both Kimberly and Stanley, Kimberly was along the lines of like, hey, you can do this, Ellie. And this is possible. And we're here to support you. And Stanley said, Ellie, I'm looking and you have a lot of room and this baby can come out, you know, the way that you want. And he was just very, very supportive. I think he might have even went to use a vacuum once, and I don't know if it like malfunctioned or whatever it was.
He just decided not to.
Oh, okay, yeah. So he just decided not to do that, and they were very encouraging. And we also gave them your birth plan, and we made different adjustments for that in the process. And I think they did their best to follow that. But ultimately, I mean, your water had broken that Wednesday morning. And then Thursday morning is when you transferred to the hospital. And she was not born until that Friday afternoon. Yeah. And that was a wild experience, because it's this being that has formed and been in your body for months and months. And, you know, I think we had the idea at times of, oh, we're having someone new here. And I'm, you know, I was kind of along the idea of this person has been with us the whole time. And now we're actually just meeting them. And yeah, I thought it was overall just a wonderful experience. And is there more that you want to share of what the birthing process was like for you, or anything you would like to pass on to somebody?
I did not anticipate how like psychedelic and challenging it would be. Like psychedelic in terms of there was no time. Like time was different. Time was not like you go into a different time frame because you have to. And that was wild to me, because the whole thing, I mean, even now, like 6 weeks have passed since she was born and I'm like, where did the time go? Like, this is so wild and crazy. And challenging because I think physically I was I think physically Stanley had said, like, we once a quarter we have a birth that's this challenging.
Yes.
This is you. Like, this is this birth right now. Just saying how many things were stacked against me, not in like a bad way, but in just like, this is challenging. Sunny side up, her hand is here, like all these things that made it harder. Because I was pushing and pushing and pushing, and it just like, it wasn't happening. Like, it just, mm-hmm. they saw a little bit, and then like, it just like went back.
Yeah, I think she kept kind of like scrunching back a bit or something.
Yeah, like it was like out and in and out and in, and I just kept thinking at different moments, like, this just, like, this is not happening. Like, I'm literally giving it my all and it's not happening. Like, I'm giving it my all the time with every single push. And then Roz, our doula, came to me and like, she said this thing. She's like, you have to go beyond your mind. Like, you have to go beyond what you think is possible. And I'm like, I am freaking doing that. Like, I am going beyond. Like, she's like, that's what I thought in my mind. But she's like, literally beyond physically what you think you can do, because otherwise this isn't going to happen. And for some reason that I think is what, yeah, like that, and like the support of everybody cheering me on, like, that's how physically I was able to like do it, because I was like, I don't know if I have anything else in me, mm-hmm. here to be able to like get this baby out. But I guess one of the lessons there is like, even though you think you're giving something your all, it still might not be your all, because you're actually capable of way more than you realize. And that's sort of the lesson there, is like, yeah, like I've never wanted anything more in my entire life, mm-hmm. is to have a baby. Like, that's like my number one dream, you know? I've been freaking doing imagination visuals for this for like 2 to 3 years, you know? Like, more than money, more than anything, like, it's been like having this baby come out of my body and safely. I've just been imagining that. And here is this moment where it's like, actually, I'm like so close, and yet it felt so far. And yeah, like her saying that to me in my ear, like, you have to go beyond what you think is possible and what beyond your mind thinks is possible. And I was like, okay, like something there just like shifted. Yeah. So it was just wild. And I also remember different moments of like almost like floating over my body, which sounds like really wild. But yeah, like I felt like I was almost like, I was me, I was in my body, I was pushing this baby out. But then there was this like other just like energy that was there with me, that's like watching the whole thing, that's like, you're okay, you got this, like, we're gonna get through this. And I think it was me, it was just a different part of me just like came on online. Yeah. And then I had a second degree tear, which was intense, still healing from that. And Kimberly and Stanley both just like sewed me up. And she came out, and I remember like looking at her and I was like, huh, like, I would have never imagined you to look like this, but like, hi, like, nice to meet you. There's some part of me that already knows you. So that was really special. And I remember she cried when she came out, which is normal. And I was like, James, go talk to her, because I can't go talk to her, because they took her and they wanted to run some tests on her and stuff. But yeah, like, hardest thing ever. And I would do it again and again and again, and if I needed to like have our baby, because she's so wonderful. And honestly, the first few days I kind of felt like, I'm like, this is a relationship. Like, I'm we're gonna have to get to know this being. Like, there's, you know, I think maybe some moms are like, oh, I just like felt immediate love and whatever. And like, I felt that, but I also have now, like 6 weeks later, like I love her. Like I loved her when she was born, but I love her even so much more now because I feel like every day I'm like getting to know her more, and it's like a relationship that's building. So for any moms out there who maybe didn't feel like an immediate, like I'm absolutely in love with you, know that that like can grow as time goes by, because that's what I've personally felt is like more and more love for her.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I think that's beautiful. And you know, even just watching you while you were pushing, I think, you know, that idea, that moment of going beyond what you even know, just recognizing how much that took or how much that takes. And I know for me, I had tears because to me, I see you going through this moment and it is painful in a sense, right? You're in a sense, your body's going through a lot and it's challenging, and it's, I'm there holding your head and there's not much I can do. And wanting it to be, you know, for you to have relief. But ultimately you having to find those parts of yourself that you really hadn't tapped into before. And then, yeah, when she was born, because I was at the angle of your head, I didn't need to see anything else. They asked me if I wanted to cut the umbilical cord. I'm like, no, I'm good. Just to see her come out. And I think they did a wonderful job in the process of encouraging you, even letting you touch her head so you could feel how close she was, so it felt more real to you. And then I didn't exactly see her when she came out. I just kind of saw the side of her head and like this little tiny ear, which was very cute. And yeah, then they had to, you know, they took her, make sure everything was all set and fine. Yeah, that was a wild experience. It was a wild experience to see you going through that. And everyone is healthy now. And this is all very exciting. And yeah, she's wonderful and calming. I think one of my favorite things that we did is when she was, still growing, we played a couple songs for her to kind of signify the evening and calm her down. And it actually works. When we play those songs, she really starts to relax. So that's been fascinating to see. And then, like I said, I'm a person who never really held people's babies and stuff.
Holding babies.
What'd you say?
I said, you're not going around holding babies.
I'm not going around holding babies. I have a niece and a nephew who I love very much, but I was really in college during a lot of that. And so yeah, I just wasn't home as much. I just didn't really want to hold babies. And at least not until they could hold their head and they were able to move more. So it's been wonderful. Is there anything else you'd like to share, Ellie?
Well, I know something that we both say, and you said it the other day, is you're like looking down and you're like holding her and you're like, holy shit, I'm a parent. This is my daughter.
Yeah.
And I think we've both had those moments several times. I continue to have it with her. I'm like, you're our baby? Like, you grew in my body for however many months, and like now you're here earthside. Like, you came from a desire and a thought and a sperm and an egg and God, if you believe in that, and a spark of creation, and now you're here. Like, what? Like, it's just it's literally like the most magical, surreal experience to have birthed a being.
I believe they actually say that when the sperm and egg come together, there's actually a flash of light inside the body.
Yeah.
Which is fascinating. I think totally. You can look up pictures online.
Totally, totally. And I just like, I just am feeling so lucky to like be on this journey with you, because I just feel that you're just, there's no one I'd rather do this with. And you're such a natural father. You've always had such a natural, caring, loving nature, and also fun and playful, and like just like the amazing qualities that I think children need. And so, yeah, I just feel like you're embracing it really beautifully. And I'm just excited to continue doing it. And yeah, and also like, wow, this is like 24/7 job. Who knew? Like, it's like
apparently everybody but us.
It's a lot of work, and it's like, duh, it's a lot of work. But I don't think you realize it, because like my mom says, she's like, Ellie, for 34 years, you were just Ellie and mainly had to take care of yourself. And she's right. And now it's like, oh, okay, there's this being here. And, you know, I think we try and be very attentive to her, you know, and to her needs, and to just be really present to her. And so, yeah, it's an honor. And, you know, if James and I have like little tiffs, which happen, you know, here and there, we're like, Ella, that wasn't, you know, mom and dad were just hungry. You didn't do anything, you know. And so I think, it's a parenthood, I feel like, so far is already like rich and wonderful.
Very rewarding. And I love, she gets this little furrowed brow that, like, if I were to narrate it, it would be, you two don't know what you're doing. Or what are you doing right now? And yeah, I love it. It's very cute. And perhaps, yeah, maybe we'll do a part three of this and just share what it's been like since we've been home. And you can share maybe what they call it, the fourth trimester. Is that what it's called? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Right? I'm mm-hmm. asking you.
Yeah, that's what they call like the 3 months after giving birth. It's like the fourth trimester.
Yeah. And yeah, perhaps we could maybe do a part three if people want that. Maybe they could let us know. And yeah, it's just been a wonderful ride. And like you told me before, something happens for women where they actually don't remember a lot of the pregnancy and the challenging moments, which kind of encourages biologically to say, hey, I'd like another kid.
I'm ready to go. I'm like, I want another one. Like, she's just the cutest thing in the world.
Yeah. Fascinating. Anyway, I think we can wrap up here, because people have to leave who are watching Ella. And yeah, is there anything you'd like to leave people with, Ellie? Is there anything that we missed? I just want to, yeah.
When your dreams come true, embrace it and be present for it, because this is like the dream. This is the dream that like I've personally had, and I know James has had, like to have a family, and like it's here, you know, and our baby's here. And so I think it's easy for the mind to look at what's lacking or look at the issues and the challenges, which of course there's plenty of, but like coming back to the miracle of like, oh, the dream is here. The dream has come to fruition, and just really appreciating that. So, perfect. Yeah.
I think that's great. Thank you all. We love you, and we'll see you.
Thanks for listening. And remember to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and head on over to jmwhiteman.com so you can see how to bring your legacy and your leadership in business to the next level. I'll see you in the next episode.